Matthew chapter 6. The message today is birds and flowers and the hairs of your head. Birds and flowers and the hairs of your head. I want to read several scriptures, all of them having to do with our subject. First of all, in Matthew chapter 6, at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Birds and flowers, and now chapter 10. Verse 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten in the sight of God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. In chapter 21, and verse 16. But you shall be delivered up, even by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and not a hair of your head shall perish. Now, Psalm 69. Verse 1, Save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is dry, and I fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. And now, Psalm 84, and that will suffice for the reading. Psalm 84. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out unto the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the scriptures that we have read together. How much you have to say about insignificant things. And yet, you are he who has brought them to our attention. And we pray that we shall consider them as your Son told us about them, as the psalmist told us about them. All things that are contained in thy word, let us understand about birds and flowers and the hairs of our head, because you are he who has recorded these things in your word. So we look to you for good this day, our God. We're thankful for what health and strength we have. We think of others who are not here because of health. We think of Dad Harry. We think of others. Our God, remember them. And we pray, our God, that you will remember us. Help us know the need of our souls as well as the need of our bodies. So undertake for us this morning. We look to thee for good. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was discussing the matter of the ways of God with a very learned man, and when I brought some scriptures to his attention that he had not considered, he accepted them and would not insist on what he thought was right. And instead he said, well, God is inscrutable. Yes, inscrutable. He's unfathomable. He's incomprehensible. And yet, from the scriptures that we've read this morning, it seems as if God is very simple. He tells us things that are elementary, if you've ever considered them. And what he tells us is this. He says, in my creation, there are birds, and there are flowers, and in you, man, that I created, there are hairs on your head, and I want you to think about these birds and these flowers and the hairs on your head. They seem like such insignificant things. Why would he not have us to consider
kings and wars and famines and floods.
He tells us about those, but in the portions that we've read today, he tells us about birds and flowers and the hairs of our head, and he tells us to consider them. I know another friend of mine who is very devout in wanting to know only holy things, things that are in the Bible. And he felt guilty about spending time studying anything except the Word of God. And he asked me about it, and I quoted in one scripture. I said, the Lord Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. And he said, thank you, Uncle John. And so God told us not only to read his book, but to look at his creation. And he said, do you see those lilies? Consider them. And I read to you this morning that God tells us about his birds, and he wants us to consider them. And also, he wants us to consider our own anatomy. He says, consider the hairs of your head. Why? Because God says they have lessons contained, and if you can understand about them, then it will remove all the anxiety from your heart. So what I have to do now is to look at the beauty of God's physical creation. As I have this past month, they have beautiful flowers and they have a whole vast area set aside where there are flowers and trees and other demonstrations of God's creation, and they're there to look at. And that is what we did. And God says, this is good. I want you to consider these things. He said, but as you consider them, I want you to do some thinking. And as I looked at those roses, some of them are red, and some of them are orange, and some of them are so dark red that they look almost black, and some are pink and yellow. Some are large, some are small. And God says, this is my creation. Now, look at the great variety in those flowers. And when I looked at them, I said, they are beautiful, and certain ones, it was so beautiful, I would get near it and inhale, and its fragrance was delightful. And so I considered God's flowers, the lilies of the field. But then he tells me also to consider his birds. He talks about birds in a way that we don't think about. I think about birds when you see them in your garden or eating your seed or eating things that you've planted. And the Lord tells us this. He said, consider the birds of the heaven. He said, they do not plant, they do not reap, they do not store into barns. He said, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And so then I think about it, and how does God feed them? I suppose that he instructs them to go into the fields where seeds are, where things men have planted or nature has caused to grow. And God says, I feed those birds. And he says this, think now, here are birds and I feed them. And here are flowers that are beautiful and I clothe them. And he says, if I, your heavenly Father, clothe
flowers that today are and tomorrow they dry up and you cast them into the furnace, shall I not more clothe you, O you of little faith? And you stop and think, God has clothed these flowers. He's taken thought about clothing those flowers. And God says, yes, I clothe them. And those birds, he says, yes, I have provided for them. They take some things that you grow, but at the same time, I've caused nature to produce things that will feed those birds. And so, if God beautifies the flowers and clothes them, and if he feeds the birds of the heaven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so what I'm to do is this. When I'm to look at the beauty of nature, I'm to think of what he's done for them, and then I'm to reason this way. If he has done for those birds and those flowers, those passing things that shall pass out of existence in a short while, shall he not do that much and more for me? And if there is any wavering on our part, he says, O ye of little faith. And so I'm to learn the lesson that God teaches us from birds and from flowers, and he says, if you have learned it, then you will trust me. It's certainly hard for this reason. I told you how annoying it is when birds will come and take things that you are growing for your own provision. But at the same time, God talks about the way that he feeds his animal kingdom as well. He tells us in the book of Job that at times the lions get hungry and the ravens get hungry. And so think, here are birds that not only eat seeds, but there are also birds of prey, those that eat other birds. And here are animals, and they're not like livestock that eat grain and eat grass, but they're animals that eat animals. And this is what God says. He says, when the lioness cries unto me, he said, I have to feed that lioness. And she has to feed her young. And also, when birds of prey, when they are hungry, I have to feed them. And so this is what I have to bring to mind. That since sin has come into the world, it's not that animals now, the lion is going to eat grass like an ox, but a lion eats other animals. He eats sheep and goats and cattle. He kills other animals. And God said, I have to see to it that they get something to eat. So it means that God is preserving a lion, but he is sacrificing a lamb. How strange. And here is a sparrow, and God has his eye on that sparrow, but at the same time, there was a hawk, and there was a raven, and they are hungry, and their offspring are hungry, and God says, I have to feed them. And so he looks at one lamb and he says, you have to be food for a lion. And he looks at one bird and he says, you have to be food for another bird. And so this is why God is inscrutable. Why is he telling me about taking care of animals? And the way he takes care of animals is by sacrificing another animal. I told you that God is inscrutable. And yet he tells us that. And he talks about the sparrow. And he says this about the sparrow. He says, not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. And so we think that nature just takes its course and some are lucky and some are unlucky. But God is he who designates which sparrow is to live and which is to die. And I've seen fallen sparrows. At times when I'm taking my exercises up and down the highway, I look and see a little bird that's been hit by a car and it has fallen to the ground and it's dead. And what I think naturally is that it was just an accident. But the Savior told me that not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. How can that be? Well, he must be omniscient and he must be omnipotent. And God decides which sparrow is to live and which is to die, and which sparrow, as I've seen it driving down, one flies past my car and I just miss that sparrow and he lives, and I'm driving and another comes in front of my car and he's struck and he falls. And so you say, well, it's just an accident. The Savior has told me that not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. And so what does it mean? It means also that I have to think about human beings. Why is it that some of the most wicked men in the world are allowed to live and slaughter other men and other good men like John the Baptist who are trying to save men to bring them to their senses, repent, and get them into the kingdom of heaven? Why is it that God allows a wicked, lewd woman to say, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter, and God allows that woman to have the head of John the Baptist, a prophet that has no superior? You're not able to answer that. And why does the Lord Jesus go to Solomon's porch and there was a pool there and it's surrounded with sick people and the Lord Jesus passes them all with a word he would be able to heal them all. But he passes them all and he finds a man that has been sick 38 years and he knows how long he's been sick. And he says to him, do you want to be made whole? And in brief, the man does want to be made whole. And the Lord Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Now would you tell me why he let that man suffer 38 years? And then why he would heal that man after he had suffered 38 years? Would you tell me why the others that were suffering, the Lord Jesus, who could have healed them all, would pass them by? Of course you can't tell me. And in like manner, in John chapter 11, a message is sent to him by Mary and Martha. Behold, Lord, he whom you love is sick. Now, if God hated them, yes, let sickness come on them. But they knew it, and they said, he whom you love is sick. Well, the first thing I have to learn is this, that even if God loves us, he lets us get sick. I think all of us here know that. And some of us who are sick, he preserves when they want to die and they wonder why they are still alive. And others like Lazarus, whom he loved, allow us to fall sick and then to die. And this is what he says. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Thank God for that. Then sickness and death is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified? Yes, the Savior has told us that. So it means this, that as my friend said, God is inscrutable, He is unfathomable, He is incomprehensible, and the answer to that is yes, that is true. So how is the only way to get through life with all of these apparent contradictions? It says, the just shall live by faith. You simply have to trust Him. When the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree, they were amazed and they said, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And the Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. The scientists are attacking us and saying, there is no such thing as creation, it's evolution. And I read in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. I would like to go and hire all the wise professors in the world to attack these evolutionists and show them scientifically that they are wrong. But God says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. The Bible tells us we understand it by faith for this reason. Two things are brought to the attention of these scientists that believe in evolution. We ask this. You tell us that matter has not always been. At one time, there was nothing. That is right. Well, tell me, how did something come out of nothing? They say, we do not deal with things that are not material. They escape it. They pass it by completely. They will not answer it. Why? Because they have no answer. And then this. When matter does come, all of it is dead matter. Tell me, how is it that life came out of death? They say, we do not deal with dead things. We only deal with living things. And so they escape that. But God has told us how something came out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And there was nothing but death. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And they did. And so you and I accept that by faith. We trust God. And with all our knowledge of the Bible and the portions that we know, we still at times are stumbled. Like the psalmist who said this. He said, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are upright in heart. But as for me, my feet were gone, my steps had well not slipped. For I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here was this man of God, and he looked at the wicked ones around him, and he said, they are prosperous. And he said, I have been plagued all day long, and I worship you, and I serve you, and I read your Bible, and I'm plagued all day long. He said, when I thought to understand these things, it was too much for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God and considered their latter end. And then he understood. So there was nothing that he of himself could reason out. And yet when he went into the sanctuary and he was alone with God, then he said, now I understand their latter end. And so when I think of dear ones who are serving God so faithfully, and they're stricken down with cancer, and I think of other wicked ones that depart from God, and they're in health and in prosperity, the psalmist said this, it was too much for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. And so this is the way it's going to be until we are in God's sanctuary, and by faith we understand. We'll never understand God, because God purposely put one thing beside another that we cannot understand. This is what Isaiah says, "You are a God who hides yourself." He reveals himself, because the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and so God reveals himself. But then it says in Proverbs, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. The glory of kings is to search it out." And so God is not explaining everything to us, but at times God takes something that should be easy to understand, and it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter." But there is a challenge. The glory of kings, noble ones, is to search it out. And Asaph searched it out, and he could never figure it out until he went into the sanctuary of God, and God whispered in his ear understanding, and he hasn't told us all that God made him to understand, except this. He said, "I consider their latter end in your presence, Father, and now I understand." He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." And so he was satisfied. All was well when he went into God's sanctuary and considered their latter end. And so the Lord Jesus tells us this, consider the sparrow. And he tells us things about the sparrow that gives us hope. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them falls to the ground without your Father?" But at the same time, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, and not one of them is forgotten of God?" But when he's talking about sparrows, and they're being sold, you know what they're being sold for? So that people can eat them. And so he's talking about sparrows and how unimportant they are. And I figured this out. Are not two sparrows sold for an asarion? And the only way to figure it out is like this. You cannot go by any monetary standard, but you see how much a man's wages were for a day, and then you figure out how much this penny, this farthing, this asarion was worth, and it's worth 1/16 of a day's wage. Well, man's wages have been so different over the years. And so I figured it this way. Right after the war ended, I went and applied for a job at a big company, and their starting wage, which they offered, was 50 cents an hour. And so that would be an 8-hour day, $4 a day, and a 16th of that would have been about 25 cents. Two of these sparrows were sold for 25 cents, so they were worth 12.5 cents each. And it says this, that not a sparrow that's worth 12.5 cents that men are going to eat, not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. Now, I can understand this. When in the book of Job, things are going on in heaven, Satan is accusing Job, and then he says, "Put him in my hands and I'll show you whether he loves you or not." And God in heaven is telling Satan just how far he can go. "You do not know that, and I do not know that, and Job does not know that." But now that God has told us, I know it, that before Satan can tempt us, before Satan can send calamity into our lives, it has to be cleared with the Father in heaven. And the Lord Jesus tells me that before a sparrow falls to the ground, it has to be cleared with your Father in heaven. Before one lion catches a lamb, it has to be cleared with God. And before one sparrow is sold or falls to the ground, it has to be cleared with God. And so I do not know why one sparrow escapes, because the Bible speaks of this. It speaks about the bird that is caught in the snare, and it talks about the bird that escapes the snare. And so I've told you that God is inscrutable, and his ways are these, as Paul tells us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. He tells us so many things, and we say, yes, I understand this. You understand the fall of a sparrow. And then I look and I see that John the Baptist is beheaded, and his head is given on a platter to a lewd woman. And so I say, yes. And I say, how is this possible? He whom thou lovest is sick. Well, why, if you love him, is he sick? And so, I do not know. It says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed for us, that we may do the things that are that are written in his word. And so as things happen, we have to listen to the exhortation of Christ. Have faith in God. Why? Because you'll never understand creation and evolution. You'll never understand the death of one and the life of another, the suffering of one and the health of another, the wealth of one and the poverty of another. You'll never understand those things. And we have to do as Christ said, have faith in God. We have to understand that those that God loves get sick, and those that God hates are well. And that is what caused Asaph to be burdened to such a degree that he was ready to give up and renounce God. But then, by communion with God, by thinking of the promises of God and the words of Christ, then accepted them, even though we are not able to comprehend them, then all shall be well. So let us have faith in God. As Lazarus died, he was sick and then he died. And when Mary and Martha were spoken to, the Savior said, your brother shall live again. And she said, yes, I know in the resurrection at the last day, he said, I am the resurrection. And so the Lord lets some die and he raises them again. He lets some die and they'll stay dead until the resurrection. And so you're unable to fathom God. You cannot comprehend him. But we still accept by faith that God is love. And God watches over us. And not a hair of our head falleth to the ground without his consent. Now, I did this for you. Does anybody have an estimate of how many hairs there are on a head? How many?
Not as many as
it depends on the head. But we are speaking about a normal head. A trichologist, like a cardiologist, takes care of your heart. A trichologist is one who takes care of the scalp, and they say in a person that is blonde, they have 140,000 hairs. Now, I looked that up for you. 140,000 hairs. And the Savior says, not one of them will fall to the ground. How many sparrows are there in the world? Not one of them shall fall. And so the Savior, with you and me, considers our bodies, all the organs of our bodies. They say, well, a hair of the head, and you lose from 50 to 100 hairs of your head every day. And God knows about them. But I'm not interested in the loss of a hair, but what about a kidney? What about a lung? What about a heart, an eye, or an ear? God knows every part of your anatomy. And if he says not a hair of your head falls without your father, then not another part of my body gets sick or fails without my father. And so what is the solution? Have faith in God. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for all the things that you've told us. We confess that everything your Son has said about the flowers and the birds and man, peace, all of them are true. And we are thankful that as we see some, we say yes, and others, we say why. But we are thankful that your Son has told us, have faith in God, and that is what we do. And in the coming days, we shall understand. Now we see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know fully, even as we are fully known. And so for your goodness to us to this day, we thank you. And we look to thee for tomorrow in faith. Lord Jesus, indeed we would have faith in God, your Father, our Father. So help us to be this, our Father, what you would have us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.